Hi, my name is Johan. For you, those of you who don't know me, I'm also known by Joe or you. Thank you so much for letting me come this morning and share the word with you. I'm gonna open up in prayer because I think I personally do need some. Thank you, Daddy God. I just thank you that we can just be here in your peace and your presence this morning to experience your love and your glory. May everything that's of me be forgotten. May that's everything of you be remembered and planted and rooted in your glory, Father God. Amen.
Amen.
Today we are continuing in our One Gospel, One Family series. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatia churches, and it was intended just to be one long letter. But somewhere around the 16th century, it got broken up into chapters and verses, just to, I guess, make it easier for people to find specific passages and things. I am going to start. My focus was supposed to be on Galatians 1:4-14, but I'm going to just go back to Galatians 3:29, just so, because it feels like you sort of come in halfway through a conversation that somebody's having. And I decided to cheat and use technology in this regard.
Now, are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you.
About 2-3 weeks ago, Dave was sharing on Galatians 3:15-29, and he broke it up into four sections. He said the promise came first, the law was given to show us what sin is, the law leads us to Jesus, Jesus' gifts of righteousness, and Jesus unites us to himself. Today I want to focus on what our identity is in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to use this as my main focus. You all know Peanuts and Linus?
Yeah.
You know the... Would you mind just rolling off a little low mid for me? Just drop the gain a little bit, please. Thank you.
Can you talk in English?
Sorry, thank you very much. So because where I grew up, my English and my invitation is slightly different. So when I spoke to Amy about the comfort blanket, she had a completely different idea and concept of what it is. What I'm actually meaning by that is, I guess, escapism. What do you escape to when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you had a really long day at work? Is it bit of self-medication? Is it just numbing, boring TV? Is it a bit of alcohol, overeating? Is it watching naughty things online? That when you get to a point that you're so tired, you just can't fight yourself ambition anymore. You go, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I want to use that comfort blanket or escapism and put it against what it is to have your true identity in Jesus this morning. But like I said, between the three guys who are up and talking, I really don't have to say anything else, really. Because we are His beloved, we are cherished, we are precious to Him, we are His masterpiece. I asked a specific question to somebody, and the answer I got back is they said they feel like a little sheep snuggled against His knees. That's how they see themselves when it comes to the relationship with Father God, when it comes to the relationship with Jesus. So Paul started in verse 29 by saying that we belong to Christ. If we belong to Christ, we are Abraham's seeds and we are heirs. I found that bit really fascinating, going back to think that Abraham got given the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he had a very intimate relationship with God. He was saved on the basis of his faith towards God directly. He trusted to know that God is who He says He is and what God wanted him to do. In Hebrews it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, A, and that He rewards those that earnestly and diligently seek Him." He goes on to say in verses 2 and 3, "We are ruled by governing bodies, by circumstances, by evil desires." Like Dave said, the law was brought in as sort of a holding point for us to get to the gospel and salvation later on. He continues to say, "So also when we are underage, we were slavery to elemental forces and spirits." Now that's a very easy thing to, because I looked at different preachers and where they landed on that. And there's a specific guy in America that, I don't know what version of the Bible he uses, but when it comes to elementary forces, he just went down the demonic route. Demons this and demons that. And sure, we live in a fallen world and there is spiritual forces working around us that we do not see and some of us do not understand. And that's also a big reason why Paul refers to in this letter by saying that you are in slavery of elementary forces. And in the Message version, he refers to 10 gods. But that we have to understand the whole concept of the fact what the law is and what Jesus came to establish and do for us. At the appointed time, Father God sent His Son into the world. At the right appointed time, He decided that it was time to change the course of human history. To come and set us free from law, that we may experience the full inheritance of what He has planned for us. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Because we are sons and daughters of God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to give us liberty and freedom to call God the Creator of heaven and earth." Our Abba Father. In Galatians 3, 26-28, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized in Christ Jesus, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all in Christ Jesus if you belong to Christ. then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. As part of the getting to know God and getting saved, being baptized is such an amazing step and so, so very vitally important, because you are declaring publicly that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And being baptized, you're basically being buried and you're being brought back up again out of the water into a new life, to be used for the kingdom and the glory of Father God, to experience all that He has for you, to just put a stamp and a seal on your full inheritance and your purposes. When we are saved and set free, we are adopted into sonship in the kingdom of God. I didn't really go into, in my research, go into the whole adoption thing of taking on a child and making them part of your family and establishing it. But basically what it came down to is when I was a sinner, I lived in a really, really dark life. There was no real purpose to me, to who I am. But when I met Jesus Christ for the first time, and when I became a child of God, I got taken out of that life and placed into new life, into His family. I got set free. Romans 8:16 and 17 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. It also goes on to say, though, if indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also see His glory. What that specifically means to me is, although I am saved and I am set free and I am redeemed, it doesn't make my life easier, really. You still have struggles in life. You have conflicts. You have chaos. You have to deal with a lot of sometimes really, really bad situations. But it comes down to, how do you deal with it? Do you live a life from victory, knowing that you belong to God and that you don't go back to the comfort blankie, escapism? Or is it just easier blaming it on human nature and deciding that you are going to go back in that direction? I just want to do a quick little tangent before I carry on, because personally I found it very, very, very fascinating. When Jesus was crucified and breathed His last breath, it says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Some of us may know what the temple was, some of us may not, but just to give you a brief idea, this was based on the original design of Solomon's temple now in Jerusalem. You had all the different areas, including the Holy of Holies, which is middle, which is that little bit there, that little bit there. And what divided the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was a massive, massive, huge veil. The reason that I wanted to nerd out on that specific bit a little bit is because if you look at actually how big this thing was, I worked out it's 2.5 double-decker buses stacked on top of each other, height and width. And it's about 4 inches or 10 centimeters thick, the material they used for this thing. Now, the whole idea of this veil is a divide between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple. And only once a year, the head priest would go in behind the veil into the area that was seen as where the presence of God would dwell in the Ark of the Covenant, and he was sort of the go-between, the atonement for Israel and God, to bring offering, to bring sacrifices, to atone for the sins of the nation. And what it says in Mark 15 is that when Jesus breathed his last, that curtain was torn from top to bottom, which means there's no human being on this earth that could have done that. It could only have been done by God through the blood and the death of Jesus Christ reaching down to us on this earth, ripping that massive, massive veil from top to bottom and giving us open, free access into his presence. So what does it really actually mean? I mean, if you just take a moment and think about that for what it is. From the moment that we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we are being adopted into his family and being identified as children of God, we enter into an intimate relationship with Father, where God declares, "You are mine. I have created you for purpose. And there's so, so, so much more that you have to go and do in this world." Me personally, as an individual, I would say, I know whose I am, I know who I am, and I know what God has given me. I love Psalm 8 that says, "When I look at the skies and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what is a mere mortal that you should think of him, human beings that you care for him, yet you made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor." Before we got saved, we were slaves to all things and all people and all situations. But verse 9 says in Galatians 4, "But now that you know God, or rather that you are known by God, how could you turn back to these forces? How do you even choose to be enslaved by them again?" I'm confused by the slide because I don't know why it's there. Sorry. I'm going to read it anyway. "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in a bottle. You have recorded each one of them in a book. My enemies will retreat when I call on you. And this I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised me. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid?" It's because I lost the page. I lost the page. I just realized. Just for a moment, I want to focus on what King David said, on how he perceived God and how God perceived him. He says, "You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know my sitting and my rising. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my living. You are familiar with all my ways. Before the words on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in from behind and from before. you lay your hands upon me. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days of my life were written in a book. Imagine being known by God. Imagine having your whole life purposed before you were even born. Imagine God decided, I choose you and I love you and I'm going to destine you for much, much, much better things than all the chaos and all the nonsense that you left behind you. I know it's really easy for me to say this, but in this coming week, when things are hard, when things are difficult, when you are really, really tired or frustrated, could you just focus on the wonders and the glories what Jesus Christ did for us? Our God knew despair, He knew loss, He knew what it was to be tired and hungry and angry. But through it all, because of His identity in Father God, the same identity we have in Father God through the Holy Spirit that lives in our lives, we can just draw near to God in everything and focus on our lives and our new identity in Him and not be drawn back into the old familiar patterns of life. Philippians 4, 5 and 7 says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about every situation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. It's called defiant adoration. It's called praying when you don't want to pray. It's called worshiping God when you really, 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 really do not feel like that at all. It's like when Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, beaten, stripped, chained to the walls, where they just got quiet and worshiped and praised their God. Despite of their bruises, despite of their pain, despite of their hunger, despite of their humiliation, for trying to save a little prostitute girl, defiant adoration is something that I tried to, especially the last month and a half, I really, really tried to get into it, because as I was preparing for this, it became more and adamant clear to me that for me personally, nothing should matter more than that. In all situations and all circumstances, know what my identity is in Jesus and changing every concept of my life, no matter how difficult, to try and get there. This is a little stream, I guess you can call it, that runs through the St. Benedict Center in Westmorland. It's a fascinating place that Amy introduced me to. They have a proper community of nuns living on site in their own little world. They don't talk to the outside world at all. They're doing their own thing. They've got their own gardens, their own... But the rest of the grounds are free for us mere mortals to access and walk around. And you can book a little study room, I think for like £15 a day. It's really, really, really nice. You can walk around the gardens. You can sit in benches. There is, I can't remember what you call it. What you call the prayer thing? It's a labyrinth, a prayer labyrinth, where you literally can walk a little trail towards a bench in the middle. And it feels like it takes forever to get to that bench in the middle, although, you know, you think it's only from here to where Lynn is. But because you walk in a circle and you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And as you walk towards the bench, you pray. You pray yourself in and you pray yourself out again. And that was quite an interesting experience in itself. The reason I put this slide up is because I sat on this bench. And I really just needed to be still. To experience Father's love. Because in the chaos and noise of our lives and things that we go to, sometimes it's really, really, really difficult to do that, to experience Him, to just hear His voice, to hear what He's saying to you. And if you would humor me for a second, sorry, I feel this whole thing was a bit of a train wreck at the moment, but just bear with me. I need a chair. Okay, so I know for some this would be really bizarre, but I would like you to please just try it with me, and then if you have any time this week to go and just do this. I mean, I'm going to say just do it for fun, just because it can be a really strange, daunting experience. I want you to just pick a spot in your garden or in your home or a place in a park where you can just be alone in quiet with yourself. I want you to sit comfortably. I want you to please put your hands on your knees, palms facing out. And I'm just going to repeat something to you. And then after I repeated it, I'm just going to put the clock on for a whole 2 minutes. Controversial, I know. But I want you to just get that sense of the Holy Spirit and get that sense of the love of God and the sense of the love that Jesus has for you. Just push all the chaos out, okay? Just get everything to just shut up just for 2 minutes. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Thank you. How was that? Was that all right? Was it difficult? Was it... Is there something that you think you could, you know, just maybe keep going at and experience? Real love and real peace and more experience what, you know, God wants to tell you. I mean, just to, you know... I read a book by Pete Grake, and he said he was walking down a road, and he said God stopped him outside just a big, massive tree. And God goes, look at this tree. And he's standing there like an idiot, staring at the tree. And about 5 minutes later, he goes, oh my God, is there a revelation? Is there something behind us? He goes, no, it's just a nice tree. Really, it's just... As human beings, we've got such short memories. We've got... On a constant, almost daily basis, Amy would say to me, write it down. If God shows you something or tells you something, write it down. Just because when you get days when you're really, really discouraged and really down on something, you can just go back to your little book, your journal, and you can look at something and go, but this is what God taught me, and I believe and trust in Him. I find it interesting that when God liberated Israel out of Egypt and they were all walking on dry land through the ocean, through the Red Sea, and Israel physically saw God destroying their enemies by closing the water on them, and they experienced His glory and His might, you would think, wow, they would just be really, really amazed and really amazing at how God does things, how He loves them, and, you know, being able to go, you know, we will trust God and all and everything from this moment forward because we physically see His manifestation. But only a couple of months later, they had a bad day and they go, why did you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? You know? So may I please implore you and encourage you to write things down when really amazing things happens to you, write them down, and also to remember to have defiant adoration in the days that you do not feel like it. I'm gonna, if the band wants to come up, I'm just gonna finish with one little story, if I may. Amy and I were very newly married, and we went down to Cornwall for a little getaway, and on the way back, we were about an hour into our journey, and the clutch went on the car as we were going down, what's the A30 something, and we coasted to the side of the road, just up a blind corner on a hill, came to a stop. And for those of you who know Trevor Payne, you'll know when I say this, I could hear Trevor Payne's voice in my head, here we are, Lord. And I just prayed and said, God, this is not a good situation because we're a really dangerous place and we don't have a clutch, so the car is completely unusable. And we phoned the breakdown service and tried to explain to the person where we were, and it took him a little while to figure out what we were, and he goes, it'll be about 40 to 55 minutes. And I went, fair enough. And then he goes, no, hang on, are you in such and such place? And I went, yes. He goes, no, you can't be there. You really, really can't be there. So we got picked up in about 15 minutes. The other funny thing of the story is somebody had to pee. They really, really, really had to pee. And just at that moment that they decided we can't wait any longer, the tow truck rocked up. So I had to distract the tow truck driver. But we got picked up and we got taken to the next drop-off point where we were supposed to be picked up by somebody else to go further down our journey to get home eventually. And the guy was just about to roll us off the back of the van, and he goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Orpington in Kent. He goes, well, you're going to have to wait here for about 4 hours for somebody to come pick you up. And I go, fair enough. And then he phoned his boss, and he goes, no, I'll take you. So not only got picked up really, really early from this dangerous position, but the whole journey turned out to just be blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Even to the next day when the The car had to get picked up to be serviced and fixed. All because I feel that we just had that moment of saying, God, this is a really, really bad place and situation to be in. There's literally nothing we can do about it, but we trust in you alone. And I think he showed off quite amazingly in that specific moment. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then I'm going to leave the platform. Oh, Father God, I thank you that despite of me, you touched hearts today, God. And I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your glory, and thank you for your healing in us. May we focus on our identity in you, the love that you have for us, that you call us beloved, masterpiece, cherished, little lambs snuggling into you, Father. Thank you that you are with us no matter what. Thank you that in all circumstances we can just glorify you and praise you and continue to trust in you alone. Daddy God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for a new week ahead. I thank you that we will aspire to just hear your voice and hear you speak into our lives. Amen.